Hey there, this is Jason Hensley with the Magnify Him Together podcast, and I have a question I want to ask you. Just spend some time thinking about this. Have you ever had somebody say before that they didn't like the term we used to describe the gospel? Maybe they said something like, I don't like the way that we use the word the truth to describe what we believe. Or maybe they said something like, the term the truth sounds arrogant, as though we think we know everything. Well, what's interesting about this is I think, like many things, this word the truth is multifaceted. So first of all, I think it's good that we use the term. And the reason I think it's good is not because it might show arrogance. Hopefully it doesn't on our part. Hopefully we say it in humility and in a recognition of the thankfulness we should have for the gift of the gospel. So hopefully that's our attitude and it's not one of arrogance. But I think it's a good term because it's a biblical term. So in 2 John verse 1, the apostle writes, the elder to the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Then he says in verse 4, I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And so it seems pretty clear that the way that we use this term fits at least with the way that it's used in the second epistle of John. John says, you walk in the truth, and that people know the truth. So it appears as though he's talking about a set of beliefs and a way of life, therefore associated with those beliefs. Similar to how we would use that term in a reference to our beliefs and the faith and lifestyle that then stems from it. So I think it's a good term, number one, because it's a biblical term. In addition to that, I think it's a good term because it should make us feel thankful. Because the opposite of truth is falsehood. And who wants that? Who wants to be living in a lie? And so by calling it truth, we're acknowledging that we have been shown what is right. Now, I think that that's amazing because our beliefs are not based on this reality, right? They're based on this idea that everything that we're seeing around us is temporary, and that someday the Lord Jesus is going to come and he's going to change everything. And so when we say this is the truth, what we are acknowledging is that in fact, what the world has bought into, the belief that this world is permanent, that's falsehood. You have truth versus error, and we are acknowledging that the gospel message is true. So I think using the term truth is good. But I think there's also something else to keep in mind when we use this term. And that is that sometimes the word truth doesn't always mean truth in the way we use it. As I said, this word truth is multifaceted. And so when we use it, we're often referring to the gospel or we're referring to the faith that stems from it. And as I said, that's good. But biblically, this term also is used to refer to something else. So in Hebrew, the word truth is the word emet. Emet. And it means truth. But it also means faithfulness. Almost like a steadfastness or a loyalty. So let me show you what I mean by that and why that's so significant. Because I think as we recognize the complexity of this word, our understanding of its nuance grows, and our appreciation for the word and for the way it's used grows. So in Exodus 34, we have God declaring his character. And if you've grown up reading from the King James, you might remember that the last characteristic in the list of his character is the word truth. So God declares his character, and in the King James, it goes like this: merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. And so I think we've often read that as, here's God, he's merciful, gracious, he's patient, he's abundant in goodness, and yet he holds to truth, and truth matters. And I don't think that's wrong. As I said, you know, it's important for us to use that term and to recognize the difference between truth and error, and that difference matters. However, in this verse, I think we're actually seeing something else going on. Now, don't get worried. I'm not trying to take truth out of God's character. I just think that comes later in the description. So, if we take a look at this verse in a newer translation, here's how it reads in the ESV. See if you notice what has changed about the word truth. It says here, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, that's the same, slow to anger, that's the same, right? Slow to anger and long-suffering, abounding in steadfast love, so that matches with goodness, and faithfulness. Ah, there's the change. Instead of saying truth, the English Standard Version and most newer translations actually read faithfulness, and that's because it's within the range of meaning of this word emet. It could mean truth, it could mean faithfulness. Now you might be wondering, well, why then would newer translations translate it that way? And I think the reason is, it creates a structure within God's character. Merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. These are all of these characteristics of abundant mercy. God is a God of mercy, grace, patience, steadfast love, faithfulness. He doesn't forsake his people. Right? That's what's being brought out in that section. And so I think faithfulness fits really well. Then you'll notice what it goes on to say, because it does have that truth section. Keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and here it is, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Now, if we read it like that, if we recognize this connection between truth and faithfulness, I think there's something awesome that comes out of this declaration of God's name. What we see is that God's name is overwhelmingly about mercy and grace. Yes, it has that aspect of truth in it. It has that aspect that God will not clear the guilty, but there's an abundant measure of grace. Merciful, long-suffering, slow to anger, steadfast love, faithful. And in fact, the Hebrew shows us the same thing. Because while we might not notice it in our English translations, the way the Hebrew reads in verse 7 is it says, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth. Do you notice where I stopped? The third and the fourth. In other words, this declaration of God's character says he keeps steadfast love for thousands. Thousands of generations is the implication. And he won't clear the guilty to the third and to the fourth. That's the contrast. Yes, truth, justice, all of these things are part of God's character. But Scripture is very clear to us. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So when we think of truth, I think we should feel thankful. I think we should feel thankful for the gospel. I think we should feel privileged. But in addition to that, I think we should feel thankful because it tells us who God is. He is a God who doesn't forget his promises. He is a God who is faithful. He is a God who is committed to his people that we can count on, knowing that when he has said something, he's going to do it. Our God is a God of faithfulness. And that is something that we can hold on to. That's what makes him a God of truth. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time on the Magnify Him Together podcast.